Welcome back. You're listening to Eye on the Outdoors award-winning radio show. Now, here's your host, Ray Eye.
Okay, boys and girls, it's story time with your Uncle Ray. Come and sit down close to the campfire. As this week's story time, we go back to yesteryear, back to 1973, for a turkey hunting lesson learned at Johnson Mountain University. A short story about the art of setting up on roosted gobblers in the steep, rugged Ozark Hills. It's 3:30 a.m. as the thunder rolls and the lightning flashes. It's the 1st of May, second week of Missouri's 1973 spring turkey hunting season. I'm awaiting for the arrival of daylight, waiting for a morning turkey hunt in the Missouri Ozarks. I'm parked at the gate of my great Uncle Mont's cabin in my 1966 Chevelle 396 after an early morning departure from my home in Hillsboro at 2 a.m. You see, I don't have much time to hunt. I only have an hour or so of hunting, as I have to be at work at 4211 Manchester Avenue in St. Louis, Missouri, at Lindell Bumper at 8 a.m. For the first time in my early turkey hunting career, I have a real job, and I cannot afford to lose this job. But then again, I just cannot miss an opportunity to turkey hunt one more morning near our family's old home place at the base of Johnson Mountain. I'm here on this rainy morning because I received a phone call from my Uncle Lee last night, telling me about a gobbler he heard roost right at dark. He and my grandma were at Uncle Mont's late yesterday evening, and after a light spring rain and sunshine all afternoon, they were looking for and picking mushrooms in the old tree-lined lane called the Old Lane, a Forest Service road easement between my Uncle Mont's and the neighbor's farm for access to Clark National Forest at the back of my Uncle Mont's property. As they were returning to the truck with sacks of morel mushrooms, my Uncle Lee heard the gobbler go to roost, and when he got to town, gave me a call. By the sound of the heavy rain on the car roof, I might not get to hunt at all, and I might have to leave here pretty soon. If this creek comes up, I will never get out of this holler through the low water crossing. Thunder rolls, lightning flashes, radio sound is fading in and out from KXOK from St. Louis as I slowly fall asleep. I wake up with owls hooting and a few whippoorwills singing to the roar of the rushing creek and to the music of the Stones' Brown Sugar playing on the radio. I think I hear a gobble. Am I dreaming? Crack the window a little bit and listen again. It's then that I notice the rain has stopped, and it's barely light in the holler. And then I hear the gobble again. Jumping out of my car, I grab my daddy's 1952 Browning 5 humpback waterfowl gun, dig in my pocket for the green Remington paper hull high brass sixes. I've got the big gun today. I'm in my work clothes. I pull on a brown flannel shirt. Then I slosh through low places in the old field as I enter the upper pasture. The gobbler goes off again, and I course him up on the big ridge to the northwest. The gobbler my uncle heard last night. I quickly move to the edge of the old field and skirt the edge to stay in cover as other turkeys are now sounding off on Middle Ridge and up in Dry Fork Holler, this bird being the closest of them all. I stop at the base of the steep ridge and at my Uncle Mont's fence. The gobbler's roosted up high over a bench on what we call Clinton Ridge on government ground. My best approach would be to stay low at first and then loop around the base of the holler toward the shut-ins and then take the old faded two-track roadbed up behind the roosted gobbler. But I'm going to have to hurry. A road that goes on up over the mountain and down in the other valley to the old church, Thomas Chapel. I don't want to mess this up. I've had a tough season, but yet a good season. With little time to hunt with my new job, the only weekend I had to hunt, I took my little brother Marty on his first turkey hunt. And on Sunday, I set up on a goblin turkey in an area we call the Old Lease and a cedar break just up from my grandpa's old pasture and an oak ridge. Calling on my homemade slate, the turkey didn't gobble after my setup. I lowered my gun to call again and coming out of the cedars, and the big gobbler ran almost up to me. With me trying to get my call down and get my gun up, he quickly departed with the tree between us. That hurt. Very painful. I was crushed, and it bothered me for years. But not as bad as the bird that gobbled at the base of the middle ridge up behind my grandpa's farmhouse around 11:30 on my way out. Running all the way over there, I quickly set up and yelped with my voice. The gobble just under the lip of the hill almost blew my hat off, and I whiffed, missed clean at 20 yards. Now that really hurt. So as I take off again up the ridge, I'm thinking I really need to kill this roosted gobbler, and without much time. Climbing the back of the ridge on the old road, when I topped the ridge, I went to the right, working my way toward the roosted gobbler. I paused just long enough to owl hoot. Boom, he came right back. As I paused to catch my breath again, I remember the lessons I've learned in these hills, last season, season before, and the season before that. But especially remember something I learned on setting up on Roosted Birds in 1971, just across the holler from where I'm standing at the base of Middle Ridge. I learned over the years turkey hunting down here, all setups are different. It just depends on the terrain, the setup, the distance, but I have learned you want to get close to make the calling effective. And with help from my dad and my grandpa, but most anybody else that turkey hunted that had success wouldn't tell you anything. There wasn't very few magazine articles. There wasn't any information, no electronic media, no seminars, no turkey hunting TV. There wasn't nothing to help you with these things. In 1971, I parked here at Uncle Mont's and went up through the back fields and heard a gobbler on the Middle Ridge. I went up across the split rail fence that my great-grandpa and grandpa had built many years before and eased up on the bench where I'd heard turkeys gobble before later in the day. But this gobbler was on up on the ridge above the bench. Well, I set up and I called and he gobbled, but he didn't come down. And then up on the ridge and to the left, I heard the cackle of a hen turkey. Not the fly-down cackle, but the cackle of yelping that goes up and comes back down in succession. I'd only heard that a few times from wild turkeys. He just pitched and flew over. It wasn't 30 seconds I heard the gun go off. Someone else was hunting the ridge this morning. It happened to be on the part of the ridge that belonged to my Uncle Mont's, so I started up the hill. When I got to the top of the hill, there was an older gentleman pacing back and forth, talking to himself. I eased up and I said, "Was that you that shot?" He goes, "Yeah, I can't find the bird." I said, "Well, he's laying right there. Beautiful gobbler." And he picked him up and he said, "I don't know what I did with my gun." And I looked and it was leaning by a tree and I said, "It's right there." And he said, "I'm sorry." He said, "I didn't know you were there." He said, "I'm Floyd Carlton." Floyd is a very well-known turkey hunter. And his picture was in the Potosi paper many times with his turkeys. And I said, "What was that call you did to that turkey?" He said, "Well, where were you this morning when I shot the turkey?" And I told him it was down there. He said, "Well, that's not a good place to set up when they're on the roost. You want to be up, same level with them on the ridge, in the same direction they fly up." And I did a cackle. He pulled out a call, a box call like I'd ever seen. It was the first store-bought box call I'd ever seen. It was a Lynch, and it said the people that made it were world champions. It had a rubber band and a really beautiful varnish printed on the side, and he took that call. And when he touched it to the edge, the sound was magic. And he did some basic yelps. And then he did the cackle. This is how I call and kill a lot of turkeys. So I learned how to do a cackle. I saw my first store-bought box call. And I learned about that setup. I learned a lot that morning back in 1971. But now it's time to go back to our hunt. So I move in slightly above the gobbler. Here the 1st of May, there's quite a bit of green up. The leaves are full. And when he gobbles, he's really close. He's just eye level, straight out from the ridge from me on a little point. So I can take out my old slate. Gobbles right back. I see the limb bounce and move, and I hear the wings flapping as the gobbler pitches back on the same hill I'm setting on, dropping in about 15 yards away, just even with me, just to my left. I swing my dad's Browning, cover his neck with the bead, and pull the trigger. After the gun goes off, I don't see the turkey, and I'm thinking, I hope I didn't miss again. I got up and ran over there, and there he was. He hadn't even flopped yet, laying down a little depression behind some rocks. So I pull off my belt, put it around his neck, throw him on my shoulder, and go straight off the hill. Down the hill, off the front of that big ridge, through the brush and the brambles with that turkey as fast as I can go. Across the fence, into my Uncle Mont's field, across the field. If someone would have seen me running with that turkey, they thought I was a madman. Got to that 396 Chevy, fired her up, throwed him in the floorboard on the passenger side, and out the holler I went as fast as I could, hitting the bottom of the car as I bounced out the road. And that 396 Chevelle, I made it to work. I got there at 4211 Manchester, Lindell Bumper, at about 5 minutes till 8. And I carried that turkey in with me, hung him up in the back, and went to work. I learned a great lesson on setups on roosted gobblers. I learned a lot about turkey hunting in Johnson Mountain University over the years, enough that I was able to share what I've learned with others. I ended up traveling, presenting hunting seminars all across America, from Oregon to California, Washington State, back across the Midwest, North and South, up to New York, all the way to Florida. For many years, I stood on stages, church basements, archery shops, sporting goods stores, gymnasiums, at theaters, all across America. But the one that I remember the most was when I was standing on the stage of the Rialto Theater in Chicago after I just signed the wall as an entertainer, as a performer, among the names of many through the years that have performed on that stage. From music to plays to singing to playing instruments to presenting programs. Next to the Three Stooges, Groucho Marx, Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra, and Elvis Presley. And I was standing on the stage sharing with others lessons I learned at Johnson Mountain University. And that's story time this week with your Uncle Ray.
Thanks for joining us for Eye on the Outdoors, award-winning radio show.
Brought to you by Mossberg Quality Firearms, Indian Creek Shooting Systems, quality waterfowl and turkey choke tubes.
Dove Creek Wagyu Cattle Company, home of the best damn beef jerky. Go to DoveCreekWagyu.com.
Thanks for joining us, and always be a positive role model for hunting, gun ownership, and conservation. We'll see you next time around the campfire. Be safe out there in the woods and on the water. Say goodbye, Peanut.
But there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless.